This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Jaime Diaz is the editor-in-chief at Golf World Magazine, and he has written the cover story for the April edition of Golf Digest. It's a cover story on Rory McIlroy, and it's a pleasure to welcome Jaime Diaz back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Jaime.
Hello, John. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. I know this isn't relevant to you doing the story, but I think the listeners would like to know this. Do you like Rory?
Yes, in a word. And I wasn't prepared not to like him, but I was prepared to find him not as good as advertised, because so many people really do like Rory, and he's had very good PR, and he comes across very likable on television. But honestly, close up, I actually liked him better than I had previously liked him. And, I was a little, not say skeptical about him as a person, but I kind of expected someone slightly entitled and maybe slightly, thinking a little more highly of themselves than maybe their accomplishments warranted, although it's hard to say four majors and by the age of 25 doesn't warrant a lot of self-confidence. But I found him instead quite self-aware, humble, self-effacing, a good listener, a person that was interested in the rest of the world. I just found him to be incredibly well-balanced for an elite athlete.
One of the things I got from the article, and maybe we're spoiled, and maybe spoiled isn't the right word, with the previous occupant at number one, Rory does seem like a guy who's at one time was 23 years old, 24 years old, 25 years old. He's trying to figure all this out.
Very much so. And I think Tiger went through an evolution of trying to figure it out, but it was very internalized, and he wasn't sharing it with the world. I think what's interesting about Rory is he doesn't mind verbalizing, the examination that he's going through here. He's suddenly where he wanted to be, number one in the world, the focal point of everybody's interest in golf. And he's wondering, how do I handle this, and how do I keep it going? And how do I balance, my desires to stay there and be extremely competitive and beat everyone with my sort of natural personality of wanting to be liked and having friends and having time for other things? And certainly Tiger probably chose obsession and a compulsion and to make it all about golf. And, I think there's a good argument that he wouldn't have been as good as he hadn't. And maybe there's no other way to do it. I mean, I think Hogan was that way. I think one of the wonders of Nicholas that we're learning and appreciating even more is that he found a way to have other things in his life. And I think Rory's trying to follow the Nicholas model. And I think it's instructive that he and Jack have become friends and that Jack's a mentor and that Rory goes to visit him occasionally.
I thought it interesting, and I don't want to turn this into TMZ, but I thought it interesting when, his golf game stepped up a notch after the breakup with Caroline. Did you get a sense that was part of the issue between he and Caroline?
I don't know that was actually something that they fought over, or I shouldn't, that's the wrong word, is fought, or had a conflict over, because her tennis game had also gone down, mm-hmm, in terms of having been number one in the world, and she was, no longer at the top echelon in tennis. It probably was in Rory's mind, and I didn't talk to him a lot about it because I think it would have been an inhibitor to the rest of the interview. It's very sensitive. It's very personal. I think he wants to leave it there, and he's just not ready to tell the world about his whole thought process on how that relationship ended. But I think there's no question that when it ended, it somehow liberated him in a golf sense. And he did speak about that a little bit by saying, I examined it now. What do I have? What do I want to be? What do I have? And I have a lot of room for golf. I have a lot of room to make the most out of this gift that I have, and I'm going to do it. And maybe that's the place that he always wanted to be unconsciously anyway. And while Caroline, I think, was actually, from what I gather, a really fun and well-liked partner of his. I mean, you know, the people who were around them liked them and thought that they had nice chemistry. And as somebody described it, you know, right girl, wrong time. Who knows? Maybe they reunite sometime. But at this point, with his gift for golf, I think that's something that he probably was thinking, I may regret not having fulfilled my potential if I look back in 10 years. And I just don't want that to be something that I carry around. I want to give it everything I got. And so I think in a way it was liberating to just say, okay, I have a single focus now. And whether they discussed it or not, who knows? But I think he made that decision based on, I think, feeling like, you know, I've sort of been touched by greatness, and I'm not gonna lose that opportunity.
We are talking with Jaime Diaz here on the Augusta Golf Show. Jaime's written the cover story for the April edition of Golf Digest on Rory McIlroy. Would he be your favorite for the Masters?
You know, I think he's the best player in the game, but I don't know that I would pick him as a favorite at Augusta personally. I think he's totally capable of winning, and I'd like to see him win. But I think, you know, number one, he's never really had a great finish at Augusta. Certainly, you know, 2011 when he had the 3-stroke lead going into Sunday. And unfortunately, Sunday kind of fell apart. But, you know, he says that actually is probably the most valuable round of his life because it taught him firsthand how not to approach, you know, trying to win a major. But I think, you know, as far as the favorites, I think Bubba has the type of game that suits Augusta the best, and I don't think it's an accident he's won twice. And while Bubba's erratic and, you know, could end up acting, you know, I shouldn't say acting, while he could end up using that favorite status as something that's bothering him instead of something that motivates him, I think he has the right game for Augusta. I think Dustin Johnson's awfully dangerous, the putter being the only real, you know, inhibitor to him taking Augusta apart. But I'd make Rory one of the top five favorites, but I wouldn't, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure. I mean, to win the Grand Slam and win 3 majors in a row and really separate himself in a way that Tiger is the only one that has in the last 30 years, it's a lot riding on Rory winning. And not to say he couldn't rise to it, but I don't think that it necessarily helps him to have all that expectation.
Yeah, I think one of the discussions that gets lost in the career Grand Slam conversation is that this would be his 3rd major in a row. That's just hard to do anyway.
Well, it's hard to do. I mean, how many guys have done it? Hogan and, you know, Tiger, and Jack never did it. You know, I don't know. I'm sorry for not knowing. I don't think anyone else has done it. Jones, of course, but the different majors at that time. But I think then you're starting to talk about a Rory Slam. You know, then he goes to Chambers Bay with a chance to win 4 in a row. And, you know, if he does it there, I mean, going to St. Andrews, I mean, his game, he had shot a 63 at St. Andrews. I mean, I think he'd be the favorite to win at St. Andrews. He might be the first to ever win 5 in a row. So this is a huge week of opportunity at Augusta. A lot riding on it, and, you know, he hasn't played well yet in America. So I think, you know, this week at Bay Hill is going to be very important.
I want to bring this full circle. I started this by asking if you liked him. At some point, he seems so genuine. He does seem outgoing. That's a bit of a difference from the previous occupant of the number one slot. Did you find yourself at some point in your conversations saying to yourself, just, Rory, please don't change?
Not really. I feel like whatever it takes, they're entitled to. I never resented that Tiger became very inward. I just felt like being Tiger Woods was not easy. And whatever it took to be as good as he was entitled to. I mean, short of, you know, being a criminal or something. If he was going to be, you know, short with people and say no all the time and not be as forthcoming as we'd like in the press conferences, whatever, I just felt he had that right because he was after something greater than just being liked. He was after, you know, really doing something transcendent in golf history, and it's just not an easy thing to do. And given his personality, I thought he was actually true to himself to do it as well as he could. I mean, Nick Faldo, you know, he talks about it now. He went through this dilemma when he was the best in the world. And when he wanted to be the best in the world, he decided, I've just got to go into a cocoon, and I'm going to lose friendships, and I'm going to lose relationships and everything else, but this is what I want. And now he looks back and goes, geez, I wish I'd known how to compartmentalize, but would I do it differently, knowing what I knew? No, because it was worth it. And I sort of feel that way that about Tiger. You know, Rory's a great student of Tiger. He read Tiger's book, you know, in the article we quoted that his dad would be driving around Ireland, you know, going to junior tournaments when Rory would be like 11 or 12, 13, reading Tiger's book, How I Played Golf, and, you know, memorizing it basically, knowing every page, knowing every lesson, and then knowing where Tiger won all his majors, what year he won them, who finished second, how many strokes he won by. He knows all that. And so I think he knows what Tiger, you know, went through and how he reacted to it, and I think he identifies with it. I think he also sees that while Tiger was an inspiration to him, he could also be a cautionary tale, because Tiger's, you know, current state might be because he was too obsessive, might be because, you know, he didn't have enough fun, might be he didn't have enough balance in his life. So I think Rory's trying to go the other way slightly with all that. And so I think he will change somewhat, but I don't think he's going to lose that basic you know, likable personality that he has. I think he's just wired that way.
He is Jaime Diaz. He's got the cover story in the Masters Preview edition of Golf Digest, a story on Rory McIlroy. Jaime, I always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, and I will see you soon.
Okay, John. See you at Augusta. Thank you.